to Luke chapter 2. And I love going back through the scriptures about and around the birth of our precious and wonderful Savior. Tonight, we're led to rejoice and give thanks in this precious portion of Luke about a wonderful sister in Christ. And I thank the Lord. Sorry to disappoint anybody. I think somebody thought that a sister in Christ was going to speak tonight. But I was speaking of a wonderful sister in Christ that was going to encourage us that happened to be in the Word of God. So, but the grace and the glory that just adorned her life, and how all that grace just prepared her for what God had appointed her to. And we'll read tonight, and I believe we'll rejoice in the attributes of this magnificent encouragement that is so pertinent to us in this day, at this time. Not that we, again, work anything, but that we are His workmanship. And truly to pray. And see, we can pray in wisdom. We can pray with the mind of Christ. We can pray in the most holy faith. And in that, to pray for these things. Lord, work them in my life. Lord, let these things be evident in me. Let Christ in me, the hope of glory, be made known. Let it not be hidden. By the grace of God, make me ready. So let's begin reading tonight from the 25th verse of Luke chapter 2. And it says there, "And behold, there was a man in Jerusalem whose name was Simeon. And the same man was just and devout, waiting for the consolation of Israel. And the Holy Ghost was upon him. And it was revealed unto him by the Holy Ghost that he should not see death before he had seen the Lord's Christ. And he came by the Spirit into the temple, and when the parents brought in the child Jesus to do for him after the custom of the law, then took he him up in his arms and blessed God and said, Lord, now lettest thou thy servant depart in peace according to thy word, for mine eyes have seen thy salvation, which thou hast prepared before the face of all people, a light to lighten the Gentiles and the glory of thy people Israel. And Joseph and his mother marveled at those things which were spoken of him. And Simeon blessed them and said unto Mary his mother, Behold, this child is set for the fall and rising again of many in Israel, and for a sign which shall be spoken against, yea, a sword shall pierce through thine own soul also, that the thoughts of many hearts may be revealed. And there was one Anna, a prophetess, the daughter of Phanuel, of the tribe of Asher, who was of great age, and had lived with a husband 7 years from her virginity. And she was a widow of about 84 years, which departed not from the temple, but served God with fastings and prayers night and day. And she, coming in that instant, gave thanks likewise unto the Lord, and spake of him to all them that looked for redemption in Jerusalem." And tonight, God willing, we're going to rejoice with and in the testimony of the grace of God in our sister Anna. And in verse 36, as we begin there, first of all, that name Anna is a Greek derivative from the Hebrew Hannah. And you'll only find the name Anna one time in the Bible, and it's right here. And so beautiful, her name means grace. So right there, we know that we have a vessel, praise God, that has all the potential for whatever God would do. A vessel of grace. And, you know, names mean things. Amen. And I'm thankful to the Lord in encouraging us these ways. Now, it says she was a prophetess. And let's get right to the point. A prophetess is something so beautiful. It means one who declares and interprets the word of God. Amen. One who declares and interprets the word of God. So simple. Praise the Lord. It's always the word of God, is it not? You people always trying to make something out of something that's not. A prophet speaks the word of God. I mean God's prophet. We understand that. The Lord's prophet or prophetess. So we understand that her name means grace. She was a prophetess, one who declares and interprets the word of God. And you would think, oh my, what grace to have that wonderful grace to declare and interpret the word of God. And she was the daughter of Phanuel. And Phanuel, his name means the face of God. And then she was the tribe of, from the tribe of Asher, which means blessed. So right there, I just have to kind of stop and take a breath, because you know this sister has an anointing all over her. There's something about this vessel. And I think how sweet her name is mentioned only one time in the Word of God. Anna, and that's it. It's kind of like a pearl of great price. It's kind of like, you know, there's something so precious to the Lord about this precious life. It was just shut up and set away to God. A vessel for the Master's use. I love those encouragements that are all over the world, the Word of God. But just as Simeon, it said that she sought to see her salvation. I love that it said likewise. If you notice that, it said, and she coming in the instant gave thanks likewise unto the Lord. Her and Simeon had that same heart. They wanted to see their salvation. There was a panting. There was an encouragement in those two saints that they wanted to see their salvation in the fullest. And not only did they want to see it, they went after it. See, there was something that quickened them. Just like, can you imagine, them kings we talked about today. There was something that quickened their hearts. It was that love, that worship that drew them. There was, again, that vision that the Lord had given that they cherished above everything. She wanted to see her salvation. But once again, she wanted to see it while she was alive. Isn't that something? Just like we've talked about lately, so many Christians, and it used to be just, I mean, at least you got this. You know, they wanted to see the Lord. The Lord was coming. Now it's, well, they will see the Lord when they get to heaven. But the coming of the Lord isn't even spoke of in Christian churches much anymore. You know, that's just crazy talk. I mean, that's the only thing there is. That's the only reason we're living, is it not? Will he come today? Amen. I mean, and it's so clear in the Word of God, that anticipation of wanting to see his blessed face. And will he come today? And that's the abounding hope of the grace of God that is alive in those that, again, are alive to this truth. She wasn't just about going to heaven. She wanted to see her salvation while she was alive. And see, we have that encouragement from Paul, don't we? The encouragement, as we know, it says, for us to be alive and remain at the first trump. I want to live a life, as I've heard many times, and especially as I told you, one of the very last times Brother Hill ever said anything to me, and he had just slumped over in that hallway when I went back to see him at his house. And my heart was broken because he was, you know, just so sick and so weak as he sat there. And I know he had fallen down, and I don't know how long he had been there, but he had his little towel over him as he was sitting in the hall with his glasses a little crooked. And all he could do was look up at me and say, "Son, do you think he could come today?" And you know, I thank God for that testimony, because this is that testimony. This is that same mark. You mark them. You mark them that there's an abounding hope in them. And it's not the hope to get into heaven by the skin of your teeth. He used to tell us that of his sweet mother. Well, if I can just get in there by the skin of my teeth. And I don't know all the conversations. Paul would have to come up here, and maybe even my mother. But there were times she'd get so ornery. He'd say, "Now, I'm telling you what, I'm going to put you out of the church if you don't stop it that way. I'm so glad God gave me a mom. I've never thought to put her out of the church. If anything, I said, you know what, I think I need to bring her up here to tell you something." But I just thought that was always so funny. But see, he loved the Lord. And let me tell you something. There was not a man that loved his mom any more than Brother Hill loved his mother. He loved his mom. And what a woman. And I thank God. But I'm so thankful that God gave us a pastor that went off after the Lord fully. I mean, there was nothing, thank God. Even himself would not get in the way. It was the faithfulness of God. And it just strikes me over and over, the heart of David in such passion and just the bewilderment and awe of the grace and mercy of the Lord. And I want that. I want to live that. I think how we've been graced in this meeting with one another and with those that, again, had fallen in love with the Lord and truly lived that life, if by any means. And I'm not going to say there's an abundance of it. Don't get me wrong. But those are those rare, precious stones, praise God, that we need to mark for our own lives. But I appreciate that. She wanted to see the Lord. She lived in that encouragement that God has given us, and even a greater promise. Do you think he'll come today? I could hear her and Simeon talking. Do you think it's today? Do you think he's coming today? You know, they were just anticipating that. When is Jesus going to come? You know, and they're talking back and forth. And notice there were just two of them in a sense, as it said here. I mean, Mary and Joseph, they didn't even get it. At this time, these two were the ones that really understood what was going on. There were still some thoughts there, but these two were grounded in what God had told them. They were resting in the promises of God. See, there were signs and wonders, and you think about what Joseph and Mary, I mean, shoot, she was carrying the baby. Joseph saw, the angel even spoke to him, but there was something about the Holy Ghost encouragement, as it says here, praise the Lord, to Simeon, that spoke to his heart. This gives me chills right now. Listen to the Lord, what he's saying here. But it just, it encouraged him, and he took hold of it, and he said, you know, this is mine, this is ours. And he and Anna went off after that, and they were expecting that. They were like cherubim brethren, if you will. And all they were doing, they kept looking at that mercy. Is the Lord coming today? Is the Lord coming today? And that type of excitement. Notice, again, there were only two. You think about Joshua, you think about Caleb. There were only two, you know. But God gives you that. You know what I'm saying? He'll give you that encouragement. Now, Paul, it was looking pretty dicey there when he was in that prison. But as he prayed, there were ones that came that God, you know, God fed him. But God had to get him alone, too, to encourage him and say, you know what? I'm your encouragement, Paul. That's wonderful. We have all this here. But remember, it's me. And God will do that in your life as well, too. We know that. It's just me. Praise his name. Now, we take this to heart, don't we? We take this to heart because in our life and in our time through Paul's gospel, this is how we seek the Lord. We seek the Lord by his grace in the fullness of that passion, in that full assurance of faith believing. The salvation that we are offered with eternal glory, when that becomes real, when that becomes something that becomes your treasure, it's just like what we rejoiced in this morning. It's it. I mean, it's euphoria. You are grateful to God. I don't care how you're feeling, what's going on. That quickening of this gospel of his glory and his glory for him, that my goodness, but that his grace is working, that it's me. There isn't anything to be compared. There's nothing worthy to be even mentioned in that, because there's nothing that compares. And we thank God for this. And so we see here that she is that vessel of grace. Now, she's the vessel of grace, as it said about Phanuel, her daddy. That name means the face of God. I think about our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, how the glory of God was in his face. Isn't that wonderful? And then it says that she is from the tribe of blessed. Now, brothers and sisters, this is who we are in Christ. What this description of what's going on here is us. This sister had it all, and we have it all. We are vessels of grace. Our Father happens to be God. And we are from, I'll tell you what, if you want to say, we are greatly blessed, highly favored, if you will, we're of the family of God. And then you think of where in this day we live in, the calling that we have to be the rib portion for him. We are graced beyond, are we not? Highly favored, blessed, 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 hallelujah. Now, as we take that and we believe God because he's done it, once again, it just kind of all, not just kind of, but it does. It's just a perfect pattern that's woven over and over and over. It's just like the kings today. You know, we're talking about that. We're born with all of that. We've got it. It's just, will we grow into it? Will we appreciate? Will we truly ask the Lord, Lord, enlighten the eyes of my understanding to go on, to not let me be distracted and fidget and get into my own mental and how I'm going to follow you. You know, you fall in love. You just go. And you let him minister to you. And he's altogether lovely. And we hear him. I don't want him to hear me. I want to hear him. And then there will be something that sings back to him that he loves. And it'll be a good thing. But this is how we go. But once again, you know, these were these encouragements that the Lord had given to her, that she knew that... she was the one. And so us in Christ, brothers and sisters, we're vessels of grace. Our Father's God. We're from this great blessing. We're blessed with all the spiritual blessings in the heavens in Christ. Amen. But now, as we go on with her, why was she of the few, the chosen? Why was something so special about this sweet lady that she sought to see her salvation in the fullest? Well, here we go. Notice it says there in verse, verse 36, that she was of great age. Do you notice that? That she was of great age? Now, later on it tells us how old she is. This isn't telling us the same thing twice. This is something very different, this word, great age. It's very, very special. This isn't speaking of, as I love how Ty loves to say, stricken in years. He loves that. You know, when he gets to stricken in years, he'll go on about that. We talk about him because he ain't here, so you can tell him later. But see, if it was to talk about how old she was, we could have done that differently, and it does that in a sense in this next verse. But this wording of this great age actually means that day. It means that great day. It even specifically means the day of the coming of the Lord. She was of great age. If you want to read it this way, she was of the day of the coming of the Lord. Hallelujah! Is that not who he's causing us to be? Those of the day of the coming of the Lord? Truly, is that not what we live for? Is that trump? The day, the Lord's day, the beginning of the Lord's day, the moment that the Lord's day begins? Praise be to God. She was of that great age. This is what he's graced upon our hearts. We are those of the day of the coming of the Lord. Way beyond saying here that she was just old. She was of great maturity. Maturity in the Lord. Great maturity means readiness. You're ready. It's not going to catch you by surprise. You're looking. It's still going to be surprising, but we're expecting it. Praise God. There's a difference, isn't it? And that's what you're looking for. She was so greatly grown in grace, she was alive. She was ready for the day of his appearing. And you know what happened? He appeared. And you know what happened? She saw him. And you know what will happen if you're ready? He'll appear. And you know what will happen? You'll see him. And you'll see him first just like she did. How wonderful. He's faithful to his promises. He never fails on a promise. He never failed on a promise of any of our brethren, and he'll never fail on a promise. And this is what he has promised to us. And by the grace of God, let's abide in that. Let's just remain, amen, and believe God. He loves that waiting. Let the patience have her perfect work. Now, it just gets sweeter as we go on here. So, it says she lived with her husband. Notice there. It says she lived with her husband 7 years from her virginity. And I think this is so precious because the emphasis that she was a chaste virgin to one husband. Amen. Glorious church. Amen. A chaste virgin to him. All of these things laying out here. Once again, you go into Ephesians and Philippians and all of that. It just radiates and magnifies. Honeys, this is it. It's all going to point back to the one thing. All your life is about is I want you ready. I'm coming for you. Praise God. Amen. Don't you know that? I think we know that. Amen. He circled us out. We try to get away from it or whatever. And anymore, I thank God I'm not. I want to draw into it. You know, running into that stuff. But you're just so thankful that, again, that you know him because you know his love. And that he's just so tremendous in the great love wherewith we are loved. So, she's a virgin to that one husband. And only one husband. And when that husband is gone, it's sweet again. Well, first of all, remember, it's 7 years. Perfection. Completion. Everything was done and completed. So even though, in a sense, I understand naturally speaking, she's a widow. But if you can, again, be encouraged of heart, it was as if that wonderful union had been made and now he'd went away. And yet she always abided faithful in that state. It wasn't that she had to have anything else. She had it all. She had the marriage of perfection for the 7 years. Completed her. Amen. Isn't that what the Lord's done with us? Amen. If we truly are going to be of that precious gospel, the gospel of the bride for Jesus, we know as in the word of God in Colossians 1, as it says, that word, Paul's gospel, completes or fulfills the word of God. Completes him. Well, let me tell you something. He's got to complete you first for you ever to be in that place. You know what I'm saying. So this is this precious heart of this woman. And it says that she lived that way, and here she is, 84. This number 84, I just encouraged about this sister. Her name's only mentioned once. The number 84 is only one time in the Word of God. This is it. She's a one and only. There's not many one and onlys like that in the Word of God. There's only a few little verses on her, but this is it. You're mine. I'm going to show you off just a little bit, but I'm going to take you right in here. Amen. Praise God. And just let him woo you a little bit. You know, sometimes we get so hurried to think we know something, and yet there's just a little something. He says, let me just have the Spirit whisper maybe this thought to you too. Amen. But maybe it even is the best part, because we learn here what serving the Lord is about. Do you see what it says there? She departed not from the temple, but served God. I think about how people get so confused what serving God really means. And I think it's so sweet how simple it is right here. She worshiped him. Isn't it sad? I'm telling you, I get broken up about this because it hurts my heart to see how the enemy can get so many of my family to slumber in thinking somehow that serving God is something other than worship. Yeah. And how did she worship him? She worshiped him day and night. Always. Isn't that wonderful? You worship him day and night? Are you in love with him day and night? See, that's worshiping, isn't it? Amen. You're in love with him, and you let him just speak to you and talk to you, and things might go a little bit awry here or there or whatever. But as you go along, and I will continue to say it, in Paul's gospel, it just hones you in. See, that's when the Spirit just, again, whispers, yea, the deep things of God to you, and tells you, and he tells you, I love you. Nothing else matters, honey. I love you. And it's well. Praise God. So, she worshiped him, and she worshiped him day and night. And here's how she worshiped, with prayer and fasting. And you think about, well, where did that happen? Well, it was in the temple. It was in the house of God. She was always about the Word of God. That's what it was. And abiding in the temple, you know who you're going to run into? Others that love the Lord. You're going to be around those of like precious faith. The word of the Lord tells us to assemble yourselves or gather yourselves the much the more as we see that day. Oh, I believe that's who she was, is the one that said of that day. She was of that day of the coming of the Lord. Praise God. See, that's why we come in on a Sunday night, isn't it? We're about those things. It's not out of, like I say, some type of a duty. It's because we love the Lord. I believe I'm going to hear something and fellowship with ones that are in tune. You know, and I thank God how oftentimes he brought these ones in pairs. There was a Jonathan and a David we just got finished with, didn't we? See how they encouraged one another in the Lord? Just mighty and awesome. And I think of Sarah and Abraham, and I love how God can do that in a couple. But here you have, you know, this Simeon, and you have Anna. And I thank God that he's given us one another. We need to appreciate one another, don't we? As Paul said, that our love would grow more and more, more fervent to one another. And this is part of this precious bridal journey of those that'll go on. So it's wonderful because She would hear the word of God in the temple. She fellowshipped with those that heard the word of God. And it said that she never departed from it. It was always. She was in love always. Praise God. It wasn't something that was hit and miss. It wasn't, well, when it was convenient. It wasn't, well, you know, I need to go live my life and do this. No, she wanted to be about the things of God. She made steps in her life. She said, you know what, I'm going to settle down and into the things of God. Is that where we are with the Lord? Amen. You know what I'm saying? Yeah, there's a lot of wonderful things, naturally speaking. But after a while, you know what? Don't really feel like doing that much. It's amazing what God kind of, you know, I enjoy stuff, but I just enjoy the Lord. I'm thankful for what he brings me to. I'm thankful if it's, and I have to tell you anymore, with things that God brings to my life, I want it to be not because of me, but I have a greater joy when it's a fellowship in the gospel of Christ, no matter what it is. Like when I go somewhere anymore, it truly is. Now, it does wear me out, and I think I got to get away a little bit. But, you know, you go and you fellowship. You go and you go with people to fellowship, and it's just, it's such an encouragement. You might have an activity or things of those things that you like to do. Do it around and do it with the people of God. It's amazing what happens when you gather in, you know, in that fellowship of the gospel of Christ, what can transpire in lives. And how those coals getting together can sure build up quite a fire. Matter of fact, a fire so much that you might just abide in the day of the coming of the Lord. Isn't that something? Amen. So, she kept hearing this. And once again, for us, may we abide serving the Lord at his feet. Just like this precious sister, worshiping him. Amen. Aren't you grateful? Isn't that amazing? You say, well, my goodness, that's what we do. Well, the word of the Lord needs to encourage us over and over, doesn't he? And we need to be encouraged this much the more as we see that day approaching. Now, finally, as we close this up, just like Anna, we'll meet him, it says, at a defined or an appointed, and if you will see how it says it in verse 38, and she coming in that instant. This is just amazing. That word instant literally is the same word of the coming of the Lord. She was there at the instant. She was there at the coming of the Lord. That's the life that she lived. That's what she was called to. Believe that for your life. Don't doubt the Lord. He gave you that promise. He gave you that encouragement. Just like he gave to Simeon. Just like he gave to Anna here. You just stay in it. Stay in it. It's going to be abound in hope through grace. And you know it's grace, amen? Yeah, we fight the good fight of faith to believe in the grace of God. It truly is. Because if I didn't believe in the grace of God, I would have been wiped out over and over and over and over. And it's amazing how he grows us up in that, because we get excited, we get encouraged in this wonderful calling, this vocation that we have of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. And we go and we're young in it and things, but we're going to need to be experienced in it and experienced in his grace and his mercy. And that comes through a lot of failure. It comes through him showing us when our pride begins to creep in. Amen? When our self-righteousness or things that, again, I don't want to be found in, and more importantly, he doesn't want me to be found in, because I won't be ready for him. I'll be sleeping. I'll be looking at something, you know, before I get to the door where he's waiting for me. I don't want to delay that, you know. I want to be ready now. And this is what's so precious, is she just listened to the words of the Lord to be ready, didn't she? She just abided in what she had already heard. She stayed there worshiping, didn't seek anything new. She stayed in exactly what was told. She didn't vary from it. Do you see that same theme over and over in the Word of God? Remember little Esther? Why did she win? Because she was told, only take of what he gives you. When you go before the king, don't you bring anything else but basically what the chamberlain or the Holy Ghost prepares you. And I'll tell you what, when that happens, you can go before the king at any time. and he's going to be smitten. And the request out of his heart will be, what's mine is yours. Isn't it marvelous? But there it is, time and time again. So God help us to just settle down in faith and to believe this. So, you know what happened? She did. She came in that instant. You know what happened? She saw his appearing. And she saw him first, right there with Simeon. Those two little cherubim ones, looking at nothing else but the mercy and the grace of God. And they saw him face to face. And finally there, I love how it says, she was filled with thanksgiving and spake of him. What a testimony to have. Isn't that our testimony? We're just thankful. I'm just thankful. I'm full by the grace of God, and we're full of thanksgiving to God, aren't we? Because I'll tell you what, it's grace alone. And I'm just thanking him throughout the day. And by the grace of God, to thank him in all things and to thank him always. Amen? And then in that thankfulness, we can have a testimony. And who's the testimony to? Is the testimony that people to the people that want to know him. It wasn't to the world. It was to those who were seeking redemption in Jerusalem. Isn't that something? He'll bring them. But notice who that was for. It was for those who were seeking. We have a message by the grace of God to those who are seeking. And I'm not there to argue. By the grace of God, I want him to bring them. And if there be a willing heart, and if the Lord will anoint that time and that grace to be graced with, that he gives us that opportunity. Oh, what a testimony we can have in thankfulness of all of that he has done, blessed us with all the spiritual blessings in the heavens in Christ. And then to give you the precise message, worship me. Just abide. He that shall come will come. Praise the Lord. Let's stand and be dismissed.